use for his commentary or his dialogue, and then he gives you an introduction, a verse-by-verse commentary, and a conclusion. So that's the way the chapter is outlined. So let me read to you the verses that he used in this lesson for today. Verse 1 is Psalms 119, beginning at verse 9. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 9. Begins by asking the question, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the ways of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. In Romans 10, beginning of verse 14, how then shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God, or by the word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning of verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spots, and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. In the introduction, the author has just given you a quick review in the first paragraph of these, I'll call them elements or items that we do when we assemble for worship. So when the worship time comes, you know, 10:30, and after we have our announcements, while everyone's gathered here, we try to inform everyone of the needs of the congregation or things that one another is experiencing, so we can help in one way or another, either by prayer or actively involving ourselves in the life of one another. And then our worship time begins. And when we begin our worship assembly, you know, we use these five things. And he mentions we involve ourselves in singing, because we see that either by command or example, one of those two things, in Paul's letters to the churches, or when Luke's account in the book of Acts of the Acts of the Apostles. So these are things we participate in because these are authorized by the Bible. So we sing. Second, he mentions we'll have prayer in our assembly. And at various times during our worship time, one man or another will come to the front and lead us in prayer, and the congregation will say amen. And then it comes time for the Lord's Supper, and we do this every first day of the week by command and example. And so that's another element that we use, or item we use, when we assemble for worship. And then we have giving of our means, a logical response. Obviously, it's command and an example in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 16. But also, it's an opportunity for us to literally give back to God the blessings that he's given us, either given us our talent or opportunity to gain and get gain. So we use that means to give back to God through a congregational offering, that we may meet our obligations, even with the physical property, maintenance, education, benevolence, missionary work, things like that. And then we have the preaching of God's Word. And so in our worship assembly, you will hear a scripture read, and then it'll be time for me to stand up, and then I will read verses of scripture and give, as we studied last week, give the sense or the application of what God's Word says. So these are the five elements, items that we have in worship when we assemble. And this lesson is on the one item of preaching the Word of God in the assembly. Go back to, again, if you have a booklet on page 26 and the verses that we just read. And just notice through the verses the benefits or the blessings that God's Word gives us. In Psalm 119, verse 9, we talk about the blessing of cleansing, washing away our sins, getting the dirt out. How are we going to do that? And he introduces it with the question, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Only God's word has the ability to do that, to cleanse us of our sins. There's a lot of nice self-help books out there, books that are written in sales so you can reach the top of your profession. There's how to do books, things like that. But those books do not tell you how to be relieved or forgiven of your sins. Those will tell you how to get along successfully in life only. The Bible tells us how we get along with each other and in life, but also how we can get to heaven. So the Bible is a very unique book in that it does that for us. So that's what the psalmist is saying. So when we assemble together, one thing we do is get God's word out. Let's open the book. And not the books that the world produces, not earthly writers, but what God has given to us through his Son. He mentions in number 2, let me not wander from your commandments in verse 10, Psalm 119, verse 10. So it's possible to wander away from God's word. God's been very specific in how he wants us to live and how he wants us to worship, and we need to walk in that path. And when we take our mind or our thoughts or our knowledge off of God's word, then we start going our own way. And God has not authorized that as an acceptable way of life spiritually or religiously. God wants us to walk according to his word, his book. Don't wander from that. He mentions in verse 11, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The only way that we can keep sin out of our lives is to keep God's word in our lives. And then we know right from wrong. We know that which God is pleased with. And so we read God's word, study it. In our worship assembly, we preach it. So we can exhort one another to right living. That's one purpose of our assembly. Not only giving God praise, but to encourage each other in the right pathway. He mentions in verse 12, teach me your statutes. Christianity is a learned religion. I was born into a family, you know, thank you God, where my parents were both Christians when I was born. And so I was raised in churches of Christ. But I wasn't born into Christianity. I had to be taught that. Christianity is a taught religion. You have to learn what the Bible says and then submit to that way. So the psalmist is saying, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. We have to be schooled, educated in God's word. Next one he says, in verse 13, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. So saying what God has given us, we need to share with others. When we have been graciously receiving God's blessings, they're not to be hoarded. You know, whether it's talent, opportunity, treasure, time, that is God has blessed us richly so that we may give to others. You know, even Ephesians 4 verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, rather let him labor working with his hands that he may have, for we work, but it says, but the verse finishes, that we may have to give. Let me tell you about the remodeling project now. with giving in mind, with the subject matter so close at hand, let me give you the sermon on the amount. That's coming. Aren't you glad you came today? You're writing these down. In verse 15, well, I need to look at that clock, because that clock's, preacher clock's wrong. So, you guys keep me aware of the congregation's clock, because that one stopped. And where was I? Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts. Contemplate your ways. Well, when we contemplate God's ways, we need to contemplate our ways too. And make sure our ways fit into God's ways. Because that's the purpose of the book. To move us to that way of life. It's kind of like a how to do, a spiritually, religiously, how to do book. So I need to read it and conform to that. In verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. You ever hear the phrase, Christianity, religion, just a bunch of do's and don'ts. I'm not going to conform to that. There Brian goes again, just preaching. Just tell me what not to do or how to live my life. Wait a minute. We need to develop an attitude that I want to delight in God's statutes. I hope when we preach and assemble and encourage each other in Christian living, we can encourage each other in that. I long for the day when all the brethren, everybody, when you wake up on Lord's Day morning, on Sunday, that you can't wait to get to the assembly. I wish that time would go faster. Today's the day we get to meet together and give God worship. Get to find out about the needs and the lives of one, and I can hardly wait. Come on, time, let's go. Let's get to the building. Delight in God's statutes. You'll find joy in assembly. Don't look at it as drudgery or hardship. Oh, look at this. This is a great time together. It's not going to last long. Like even Dennis likes to sing the song before I preach. It won't be very long. favorite song. You know, before Brian brings us a lesson, let's sing It Won't Be Very Long. In the last phrase, I'll not forget your word. So when you look at God's word, it's very practical in its message or in its content. I can live by this. See, this is good. This is good stuff. Comment or question? No, let me do all the talking.
Okay, I will.
All right. In Romans 10, verse 14, he asked a question, well, a couple questions, but that middle question, how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? In verse 14, that middle question. How can you believe in something you've not heard about? I can't. I have to hear about it before I either believe it or not believe it. I have to hear about it. In verse and the next question, verse 14, and how shall they hear without a preacher, or just someone that's sent, or a teacher? But how can you hear unless someone delivers that message to you, or you've read it for yourself by opening the Bible? And then the last phrase in verse 17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. If your faith is not based on God's word, then you're going to believe anything your mind conjures up. Because you're going to believe what you want to believe, or what someone else has told you, or what you've learned from the music you listen to, or from your education, or from your environment. Faith in God comes by hearing God's word, and no place else. You're not going to get faith in God from experiences. It may wake you up. I need God in my life. But if you want to have faith, faith comes by hearing the word of God. As we say, otherwise you'll just make up a religion of your own choice, of what you like. And a lot of people in our world think of religion as smorgasbord. They may have opened the Bible and they see, oh, I like what the Bible says there, I'll take that. And you kind of walk down the line, turn a few more pages, oh, I don't like that, forget that, I'm not putting that in my life. Keep going, oh, I like what the Bible says here. And that's their religion, a smorgasbord religion. They pick and choose. See? And God, no, that's not acceptable. If you believe the Bible, you believe everything the Bible says. You believe it all. And by the way, you know, when you look at the Bible, because again, people sometimes think of it as a religion of do's and don'ts. When the Bible says don't do something, it's never asked you to leave something that's good for you. If it's asked you to leave something, it's because it will hurt you, either physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually.
Or financially.
So when the Bible says don't do that, there's a reason for that. And so people think, oh, God's taking all the fun out of life. No, he's only asked you to leave those things that will hurt you in one way or another. No, we call the Bible the good book. It's a good book. Comment or question?
Mm-hmm. What's the reverse of that? Everything the Bible tells you to do is
good. It's good. Because it will bless you, especially eternally. All right. The last thing I put on page 27, the last verse of 2 Peter chapter 3. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we try to have, as a congregation, we have a Bible class assembly. You know, so we do it as a matter of convenience while we're coming here to worship. Why don't we come an hour earlier and have a 40 minute time of Bible class as a group? It's just a convenient time. And because some people may need a little extra spurring on or encouragement, we have what we call a midweek Bible class. We choose Wednesday night. Some congregations choose Thursday. Some people even add a ladies' Bible class on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday morning. But congregations typically try to find provide opportunities for assembly for Bible study, and typically was down at the building. Other congregations will have Bible classes in individual homes during the week, or brethren will just get together in small groups by themselves, and it could be just a couple couples, or it could be a larger group. But the idea is we, as God's people, recognize the need to have Bible study. And so we try to implement that even on our own. Say, would you come over to the house? Let's have a Bible study this week. Or sometimes just in casual conversation, we have a Bible study without it even being planned. Questions just come up. So lots of things, illustrations like that. So Second Peter is saying, grow in grace and knowledge. Knowledge
of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just as you had to be taught to become a Christian, you need to be taught how to remain Christian. I know he also mentioned some things are hard to understand, but don't let what you don't understand rob you of what you do understand. Comment or question? Clarence.
Stop me at the 10-minute mark.
What time is up? Look
at that.
I'm sorry, we don't have any time for questions. Yeah.
These Bible classes that we have, they're well and they're good, but if you want to grow...
I was going
to
mention that.
Oh, okay. I'm done.
I forgot. That was on my mind. I just let it slip. Clarence does a lot of stuff studying by himself, too, and he's using this online Bible study. I think it's World Bible School is what Clarence uses specifically. And if you want more information about that, you can study that. But there are brethren across the brotherhood and that put out Bible study materials, and he's using one that goes through all the books of the Bible, almost like a college course, or it doesn't have to be. It can be an introductory course or a real in-depth study, verse by verse, of every book of the Bible. But Clarence does that, and he's been sharing that with us on Wednesday nights when he teaches the Wednesday night Bible class. Right now he's on the book of Hosea, and very enriching study. He gives a lot of background, historical background of Bible times, and then takes us through the book of the Bible verse by verse. So Clarence has, I think, just another week left of that before Dennis takes over again. On Wednesday nights, we have a different Bible class teacher each month. So Clarence makes his presentation for that month, then someone else teaches the class, then Clarence comes back again to the rotation, and he usually picks up where he left off, which is usually chapter 1, verse 1. After a month of study.
I'm serious.
All right. Next week, Lord willing, the subject matter that the author is going to pick up is prayer, giving two lessons on prayer, and I really wasn't looking forward to this one in a sense when I started my Sunday morning lessons on prayer about a month and a half ago. But there's just another lesson or two on prayer before I change that topical series. You'll get another sermon on prayer this morning, and I think maybe one more next week, and that will conclude that series on prayer. But the author picks up that subject matter for our lesson next Lord's Day, Lord willing. So that's the class time, so class is over.